The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here, as usual, with Dr. Herb Slavin. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning.
And I'm going to say we didn't have a discussion prior to the open of the show what we're going to talk about, so it'll be a surprise.
Well,
will it be a surprise to you, too?
Well, no. Well, just things that sort of get my attention. With the primary today in New Hampshire, a lot of talk has been focused on the heroin, so-called heroin epidemic in New Hampshire and elsewere, which I, you know, I think there's a some ulterior motive going on here.
And a perfectly explainable reason for why there is a heroin epidemic. Am I correct?
Maybe.
Okay.
What's your reason?
Well, I'm assuming that what you're thinking about is the, I'll use the word crackdown with regard to physicians prescribing opioids to relieve pain.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that would be part of my thinking.
Bingo!
Yeah, I see this you know, in Florida, because that's where I practice, you see that patients are having difficulty, not just from physicians, but then they go to the pharmacies and they're being rationed out the amount of medication patients can have. And this is part of their war on drugs, depriving people who are in pain from getting appropriate pain relief. Now, it's okay to give patients non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, even though that's a far more dangerous class of drug than the opiates, because when opiates are used as directed, you don't have problems. Maybe the most serious problem would be constipation. When you use non-steroidal anti-inflammatories as directed, you can wind up in a hospital.
Okay. Here's what I'm imagining might be on people's minds. Prescription opioid pain relievers are kind of a gateway, and that even after the pain is gone, people continue to use them and abuse them. Is that a rational way of viewing those drugs?
Well, there are studies out there that say if you're taking the medication for an appropriate reason, you know, for pain relief, then that doesn't happen. Just like when they did away with prohibition and alcohol became freely available to everybody, you didn't develop more alcoholics. So I think it's just an individual issue. If people didn't abuse, let's say, a prescription drug, they'd find something else to abuse if that's their personality type. They could go to alcohol. They could go to
sugar.
Well, sure, everybody's afraid of addiction, but only when it comes to the opiates. They're not afraid of addiction when it comes to sugar. Why is that? Sugar kills more people, by the way, than the opiates. Nobody talks about that.
It's a very sad situation, but the population of the United States very, very much in the class of addictive individuals when it comes to sugar. And, you know, when you suggest possibly using something that isn't sweetened, the reaction is quite negative. It's very interesting. So sugar is very much in more addictive category.
Well, I just want our listeners to put themselves in the shoes of someone who suffers from pain on a daily basis. And you get your pain medication, because this has been reported, and the doctor underprescribes it. So before the end of the month runs out, the patient can't, before the end of the month, the patient runs out of the medication. They can't get it refilled until the next month. What are they going to do? Maybe they go get heroin. Maybe someone told them, go get heroin, and they don't know how to use it because it's illegal, and they overdose. That could be a possibility. I think the appropriate management of pain has always been an issue in this country. Nobody makes an issue about all those surgeries being done inappropriately to relieve back pain, and after the surgery, the patient has just as much pain as before the surgery because of scar tissue and things like that. And now the patient can't have more surgery, and then they go for injections into their back, which hardly works. Or sometimes it works, but a lot of times it doesn't. But the opioids are a good class of drug that works with a relatively safe profile if used as prescribed. So I think there are a lot of other issues that they don't make a big deal about, like excessive surgeries for pain relief that don't work, or a lot of treatments for pain relief that don't work. And the one treatment that does work, if used properly, they're making it very difficult for patients. And I have to wonder, well, I don't have to wonder, maybe, I'm not sure, because I was thinking back when the drug companies don't want the competition for marijuana. In other words, they don't want legalized medical marijuana because that would cut into their sale of medication to relieve pain, because marijuana, I've heard this firsthand from patients who are getting it for pain relief, that it works.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think there's more to it than that. So the drug companies were saying marijuana is a gateway drug.
Right.
You know, not that it is, but it's a nice thing for people to believe. You know, here's the statistic on that. You can say that 100% of drug abusers, illegal drug abusers, may have smoked marijuana, but only 10% of those that smoke marijuana go on to use the illegal drugs. You know, my position here, again, is to legalize all these drugs and control it, because when alcohol was illegal, you couldn't control it. And
you're against job formation then, Dr. Slavin. Because how many law enforcement officers might not be needed if drugs
out the jails too.
And the judicial system might be significantly reduced in size, along with the jails being very much reducing population.
That, you know, that may be the real reason behind keeping these substances illegal, as opposed to for the protection of the individual, because in reality, I think more people are injured by crime associated with the illegal drug trade, probably, than that die from the drugs. I don't know. I hear numbers in the thousands of people who are into the drug business, you know, being killed off every year between Mexico, the United States. You know, numbers are in the thousands.
Right. A very sad situation. And you think about the foundation of that negative situation, and it is making those drugs illegal.
So if you just think, if the drug was illegal, I don't see a mad rush to the drug store to get these drugs. What I do see is the disappearance of a drug pusher on the corners of near schools. I see a decline in the prices of these drugs because availability becomes better. Not that more people are going to use it, but you don't have to worry about that. And then there'll be a control of who's using it, or at least the knowledge of who's using it. And probably the most important thing is, you know, I don't know why people would use drugs that they have absolutely no idea how they're being formulated, the safety going into these illegally prepared drugs.
Hey, let's talk about the safety going into the preparation of these pharmaceutical drugs. They're made all over the world. The facilities in which they are manufactured are not FDA inspected facilities. So I'm not so sure that we can rely on the consistency of a particular labeled drug. And I don't know that we can rely on the quality of the makeup. And, you know, so there's so many different aspects of these drugs that come from all over the world, and we don't know where.
But when you talk about, you know, any of the illegal drugs, starting with marijuana and going on to, you know, heroin and cocaine, you don't know what they're putting into this, or amphetamines. You don't know what's going into the mixture. But if it were controlled, maybe you'd have a safer drug that you wouldn't see people overdosing on. And then you have a chance of identifying people using the drug, and maybe then you can counsel them to not use those types of substances.
Well, it's really interesting because we're talking about the basis of pain is why these people go for opioid to relieve their suffering. Okay, suppose we got to the underlying cause of their suffering, and I understand that it is not necessarily possible in 100% of the cases, but so inflammation. What is one of the main causes of inflammation? Sugar. So let's talk about being able to support the quality of someone's dietary intake. And, you know, wouldn't we be much better off if it were illegal to have products that had servings that had more than 5 grams of sugar per serving? You know, let's talk about what creates that pain. What creates migraines? Hormone imbalances. And what creates indigestion? Poor quality food.
So do you think
like a true nutritionist.
A 2-ounce can of soda would satisfy anybody?
Okay. And see, that's one of the things that I tell people. Maybe they're drinking 5 cans of soda a day. And I say, okay, well, this first week we're getting down to 3. And you might portion it out so that you're not tempted to take your daily allotted serving all in one slot.
But it's not just soda, it's the iced tea.
Of course.
And all the other, even juices, even natural juice has a lot of sugar in it.
So that music means that it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. And when we come back, I have some very good news related to the topic we're discussing. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. At AMT Centers, testing is designed to give you important information before symptoms of disease appear. You get the information needed to evaluate potential disease development. With cutting-edge labs such as Singulex, Innovative, Genova, Doctors Data, and many more, you'll receive definitive evaluations of health issues before problems arise. Learn more at amtcenters.com or call 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are 3 main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these 3 areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Today we're talking about the entire situation as it currently exists with regard to pain relief. And Dr. Slavin, fabulous news for our listeners. Tomorrow, someone that some of our listeners might be familiar with, because he's been in the natural health industry for many, many years, and I'm referring to Stuart Tomk. And he is one of the founders of Canavest, and he is the educator for Canavest. Canavest is a company dedicated to bringing to the market cannabidiol, CBD. And so, you know, we're talking about marijuana and the ability potentially for marijuana and heroin and other drugs to relieve pain. Well, there's a lot of research on CBD that shows benefits with regard to headaches, immune imbalances, and certainly pain. And it isn't necessarily related to marijuana, though people have in their minds that it is, that it has similarity. It's a very, very different plant than the marijuana plant. And so Stuart will be here with us tomorrow by phone and explaining all of the benefits associated with using CBD.
Where can I get that?
You can get it at Toonies.
Health food stores.
And okay. Greenlands. And, yes, many different stores are carrying a variety
perfectly
of different...
Perfectly legal.
Perfectly legal because it does not have a particular, what is it, THC? I'm not sure about that. Chemical component that makes you feel euphoric or high or whatever. Okay, but it does, the CBD, cannabidiol, does plug into your nervous system. It has an affinity for your nervous system and enhances the activity of endorphins. So endorphins in people's minds might be a natural high. Most often it's referred to in long distance runners. But the CBD plugs into the nervous system and is very, very efficient at balancing that nervous system. And for the best details on how it works, I have to defer to Stuart. He'll be with us tomorrow. I'm very excited to talk to him about it.
I was listening on television to someone up in New Hampshire who was talking about the problem with heroin overdoses, and their approach is when they wake up in the emergency room after a shot of Narcan, which is an opiate antagonist, that's the time to get them into counseling so we can get them off the drugs.
What happens to them when they wake up in the emergency room after a shot of Narcan in New Hampshire?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying. This
Are they hauled off to jail?
No, when I worked emergency room, you know, we'd use that all the time. If someone came in unconscious, you give the patient two things because you don't know why they're unconscious. One, you give them intravenous glucose, and the other is intravenous Narcan. You know, they're pretty safe things to use. In other words, if they were unconscious for another reason. I remember a patient that I had with narcolepsy.
Oh.
So narcolepsy is someone who wants to sleep all the time. So this particular patient told me the story. He winds up in the emergency room asleep, you know, because they don't know that. He has narcolepsy. He's unconscious. And they accuse him of using drugs, but he has narcolepsy. He would take medications to stay awake, you know. So that is always a problem, too. You have to know why a patient is unconscious.
So those little medical emergency bracelets with all of your details on them would be a very good idea for a narcoleptic patient.
Would be helpful in that, as well as a diabetic. You can become unconscious if your blood sugar goes too low, as well as blood sugar going too high. So it's important to let the doctor treating you know which direction to go in right away instead of waiting for lab work to come back to figure out what's going on.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, I had somebody come to see me who had been in an automobile accident and had pretty significant injuries to his lower legs, knees, and ankles. And of course, anytime you move around, your knees and ankles are going to hurt. And he had been on some kind of pain reliever. I don't remember what the drug was. And while he was going through physical therapy. And so very gradually, it took him about a year and a half to get his knees and ankles recovered, and he began to realize that he was pain-free. But he couldn't get off the drug, and he had tried and tried and tried and tried. And again, I don't remember the name of the drug. And I, so here was somebody who didn't necessarily, he wasn't abusing it. He wasn't using it for entertainment. But he wasn't able to break that hold. What are some of the things that you might suggest for someone in that situation? They no longer want to be using the pain-relieving drug. Their pain is gone, and they're having difficulty breaking that connection.
Well, everybody's different. I have patients that have gone cold turkey, not on their own choice. They can't get the medication. and they survive that, but there are some people have symptoms, other people don't have symptoms of withdrawal. So everybody's different, and I guess as a last resort, if you can't taper yourself off, you have to get into some kind of rehab situation to get off the medication.
Okay, so the rehab situations, would they alternate the drug dosing or just titrate it down? Would they give you, you know,
there are different programs out there using different things.
Mm-hmm.
But they make that sound like trying to get off the medication is the norm as opposed to the exception. In my experience, people take pain medication and they have no trouble stopping it.
Right. I think for most of the people that I see, when the pain is gone, they have no trouble. It's an easy withdrawal.
And I think probably there's a genetic component here. Just like some people can't tolerate alcohol or become alcoholics, and other people can drink and no problem.
Well, my understanding with regard to the alcohol is the Native American Indians don't have one of the liver enzymes that predictably breaks down alcohol, and Scotland, Ireland, Wales, that group of people also are missing that enzyme. So, you know, when you think about it, here we blame the person when it's a physiological something missing. So.
And I think that's probably the case in those individuals that have more difficulty than others. Just like we see people that smoke for 60, 70 years and nothing ever happens to them, and other people, you know, smoke for a shorter period of time and get lung cancer or other serious problems. What is it about the genetics of the person who smoked for a lifetime and no harm comes to them?
Okay, very, very interesting. Yeah, because
we've heard those stories.
Mm-hmm.
They don't study those people. They don't want to find out how to keep people healthy. And this is sort of what when I observe how the healthcare industry in this country treats people, it's kind of frustrating to see people be, you know, their conditions being ignored from the standpoint of addressing why they're getting sick as opposed to just handing out drugs all the time. You know, isn't that sort of hypocritical? You know, mainstream medicine is all about handing out drugs or prescribing drugs constantly, except the drugs that they don't like. You know, like the narcotics or opiates. Those are bad drugs. Well, frankly, all the drugs are bad drugs. And in my point of view, though, the ones that are necessary to control pain are probably the ones that are the most important, because very difficult to control pain on your own. You can control your blood pressure. You can control your cholesterol. You can control your blood sugar.
Your digestive issues.
Yeah, yeah, that's all self-inflicted problems that are totally being ignored and just with drugs being handed out. But when you have had an accident, for example, and you're in pain for whatever reason, that pain needs to be controlled. And here's an interesting observation because, you know, we're evaluating levels of stress in patients. And the people that come out the best on those evaluations are those who are getting pain relievers and muscle relaxers.
Very interesting.
Yeah, you see their autonomic nervous systems being the strongest. You see their levels of stress very low and their stress resistance very high. Very interesting observation I'm seeing.
Okay, so that's at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. What's the name of that test?
They call it Max Pulse. It's a way of looking at heart rate variability, and from that they can determine levels of stress in your body. And it's just interesting how we see the average person coming in here under a lot of stress.
Is it covered by insurance?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, now, when you were speaking about, just before mentioning the Max Pulse, I was thinking we're asking the wrong questions. We're studying the wrong things. And we are asking those questions and doing those studies based on economics. What pharmaceutical can we develop that will cover a broad population? They will want it and we will make a lot of money. What vaccine can we develop? Because most people in the population will have this issue and they will want to have the vaccine and they may very well pay quite dearly for access to the vaccine. So, you know, were saying, what are the things that are being studied? Well, my observation of it, it's the wrong thing that is being studied. So not, you know, as you always say, Dr. Slavin, not what is the underlying cause? Okay. So, Dr. Slavin has just pointed out to me that there are some very, very interesting supporting articles with regard to the use of medical marijuana. Now, we're going to be talking about cannabidiol, which has a relation but is not marijuana. It is not medical marijuana. And that'll be our special guest tomorrow, Stuart Tomk. That music means that it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. More to come.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more, 954-748-4991. 748-4999. Sure. Okay. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. And Dr. Slavin, you were mentioning the max pulse and how certain people that come in, you're seeing that people who are being tested, they're all stressed. And the ones who are doing better, the overall evaluation of their health on this max pulse is due to their ability to handle stress.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the reason stress is important is that's a contributing cause to every illness. And sometimes it's the major cause of an illness. We can, from cancer to heart disease. And you go right down the line, digestive problems. Stress is a major factor. So came across an interesting, I guess we call it a report.
Well, natural news, isn't that the source of it?
Well, somebody wrote an article there.
Uh-huh.
So those familiar with the history of the outlawing of marijuana in the U.S. are well aware that this was a direct result of pressure by corporate interests.
Absolutely.
Then later, of course, the failed war on drugs went into full swing, and punishing marijuana users and dealers became big business for law enforcement and run-for-profit prisons. Did you write this article?
I'm so much in step with that information, and when you evaluate the history in the 1920s, you find out about this.
So they go on to say cannabis and the hemp plant, so two different sources of this type of ingredient. Now, hemp is where the cannabidiol is coming from, correct?
Right, right.
Okay. So cannabis and the hemp plant in general offer us a cheap, effective, and renewable source of a great number of beneficial products.
Okay, so fabric from hemp, much more durable and less expensive to raise than cotton. Fuel from hemp, biodegradable and non-polluting source of fuel, so better than coal and oil and gas. The list goes on and on.
So they say some of these products have almost miraculous properties, but since there is little profit in it for the big farmer and the big business interests, the progress toward legalization has been slow and met with bitter opposition every inch of the way.
So you think about the medical community. You talk about Rockefeller and the other corporate giants in the early 20th century, how they took over the medical schools. Well, this is how our legislators were taken over. This is how big business had their way, and it wasn't for the benefit of the population.
Now, it's kind of interesting here. There's a term, entheogen, used by a professor, Rock. It refers to any substance used to induce spiritual experiences.
Now, spiritual experiences are chemically induced for thousands of years, and there are different substances used around the world to transform the nature of your consciousness. And I'll just point to the South Pacific Islanders, kava. And at one time, kava rituals were outlawed, and they saw the level of violence in the population go so high that they reintroduced kava into the rituals.
So it goes on to say here that the use of these entheogens, such as cannabis, peyote, and psilocybin mushrooms, has been linked to the formation of nearly all of the world's religions. So it's perhaps no surprise that cannabis likely played a role in the birth of Christianity. So that's
now,
an interesting statement.
A stunning statement. I think that there would be quite a number of people who are possibly offended by that. But when you think about the use of smudging, Smudging, creating a smoke in an atmosphere that all of the people are breathing, and it brings about a certain mental state, possibly an openness to connect with spirit.
It goes on to say that there is ample historical and scientific evidence that Jesus was a cannabis user and that he used the plant to heal the sick.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So
okay, so when you think about all of the medicinal properties associated with cannabis, that's very understandable. And when you think about stress being one of the most significant underlying issues to create all manner of different dysfunction around the body, makes very good sense.
Now, they used cannabis, they say, was the key ingredient in the anointing oils that were used by Jesus and his followers in rituals and for healing purposes. And here's how they made it. This holy anointing oil, which has been described in the original Hebrew version of the recipe in Exodus, contained over 6 pounds of cannabosum. That was what they called cannabis at that time. That's what is believed, a substance identified by respected etymologists, linguists, anthropologists, and botanists, and other researchers as cannabis. Extracted into about 6 quarts of olive oil, along with a variety of other fragrant herbs. The ancient anointed ones were literally drenched in this potent tincture or mixture.
Okay, so that is one of the things. Okay, so here they're talking about anointing, but a topical balm mixed with healing type oils and cannabis is a very, very potent pain reliever. So someone with shoulder problems, neck problems, any kind of joint that is painful and not flexible, that cannabis balm can be extremely pain relieving.
The medicinal benefits of cannabis oil continue to grow. Last year it was reported that cannabis oil could be used to curb Lyme disease.
Wow. So you think about the inflammation systemically associated with Lyme disease. You can understand that.
And then the benefits extend beyond just Lyme disease. They say that it can help relieve the day-to-day symptoms of ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. That's a degenerative neurological disorder. So,
what if it works for MS? I mean, ALS. What about for MS? That could be helpful there too.
So, you know, we have such a it's been portrayed as such a negative substance, and I wonder if alcohol was ever in that category at one time too, during Prohibition years, perhaps. And perhaps it still is by some people, because clearly overuse of alcohol is a bad thing. I think overuse of anything is a bad thing, including sugar, as we mentioned. In fact, overuse of sugar is a deadly thing. You know, there haven't been, in my research, looking into reasons why we should avoid legalizing marijuana. I can't find any associated deaths with marijuana from directly using it. You may have some accidents occurring in people who were under the influence.
Or overconsumption of sugar in people who were under the influence.
But, you know, it's like we mentioned, it's the special interest groups that are against the competition.
Okay, now keep in mind, Dr. Slavin, we're going to be talking about two entirely different plants, the marijuana plant with cannabis and THC, and cannabidiol, which is an extract of the hemp plant. Hemp plant grows very, very tall. It's a slender stalk that looks very much like a bamboo plant, and that entire plant is usable. So the cannabidiol is extracted from it, very, very highly regarded as a source of fuel, and Certainly, the fibers can be woven efficiently into many different types of fabric, rope, all kinds of things that are usable from the hemp plant. And it doesn't pull important nutrients from the soil. It doesn't require applications of fertilizers and pesticides and so on. So when you compare cotton with a hemp plant, it is very, very much a higher quality, less expensive plant to grow, and the entire plant is usable.
So, you know, there are a lot of reports of the benefits of marijuana use for medical reasons, and I guess you just have to research that on your own, because there are other reasons for objecting to its legalization than just the fact that it's a dangerous drug.
Okay, so sometimes, Dr. Slavin, do you feel like the FDA is paying very, very close attention to the natural substances that are used with patients and not paying such very close attention to physicians using pharmaceuticals, statin class drugs, blood pressure lowering drugs, blood sugar lowering drugs, that drugs for insomnia, drugs for depression? And when you look at that entire profile of drugs, how negative some of the outcomes might be.
How about chemotherapy?
How about it?
I mean, how could that class of drugs ever be approved if you knew what it really did to people? And the fact that they never have to prove that it extends life or cures a disease, well, they have to prove that it shrinks the tumor by 50%. The patients still go on to die after being treated with chemotherapy. So, when you see this over and over again, and then you see products that you hear firsthand from patients, like the patients that were smoking marijuana on their own to treat their symptoms and get better, and when they tell the doctor, this is what I was doing, the doctor says, don't tell anybody, they'll never believe you, or, you know, you're clearly crazy. This is the problem we deal with. Got to keep an open mind on some of these things and understand all the issues behind them.
The corporate economic interests and the relation of those corporate economic interests to our legislators.
One last thing about this. Preclinical data attests that cannabis is a potent antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. It slows the progression of ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease and prolongs the life expectancy of those afflicted by the condition. So they live longer and with less stress.
Very, very important information, and lots more information to come when we come back here on Natural Doc Radio from this break. Stay tuned.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at JanetCimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN Monday through Friday, 10 to 11.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Before we get back to the discussion, I just want to let everyone know that Janet's best formulas that you can find out about at janazon.com or janetcimarelli.com, those products, the Jana Jest, the Jana Biotics, Jana Balm, which is a fabulous lip balm and very, very good for any kind of insect bite, any kind of little rash or scrape, and Jana Detox, very easy 2-week detox that I recommend that people use maybe on a quarterly basis, every 3 months or so, just this little 2-week, very gentle detox, and Jana Biotic, a very, very reasonable dose of a whole profile of beneficial bacteria, so important with regard to your brain health because you are absorbing your B vitamins more efficiently, as well as your immune system. And I said that I was going to give you some new information just before the break. Dr. Slavin and I will be speaking at Green Planet Fest, and that's February 27th at the Broward Convention Center. And we're going to be talking about breast health. The title of the presentation is Breast Cancer Prevention, and how do you prevent it? By supporting breast health. And so that's what's going on coming up. Dr. Slavin?
All right. Something that's in the news almost on a daily basis, but you'd never know it if you looked at the mainstream news, is the impact of the genetically modified foods. And I think, you know, to make a long story short, it just gives you more reasons to buy organic. Because I'm thinking, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, that even GMO-free is not good enough because they're still being sprayed with lots of pesticides. And I think they're almost saying, it's almost like saying GMO-free is like saying, like they used to do, cholesterol-free or gluten-free. It's becoming a sales-promoting gimmick instead of going to the best source of food, which would be organic.
Okay, I'm right there with you, Dr. Slavin. I kind of feel like GMO-free is a step in the right direction. Sometimes it takes a pretty lengthy period of time for farmers to have a particular acreage declared fit to grow organically. And sometimes I think that maybe that's kind of the in-between step, making the change from conventional to organic during that time period. They can refer to their crops as GMO-free.
All right. I mean, GMO-free is still better than conventional.
Absolutely.
But organic is still the best. Now, they did a study, and they wanted to correlate the use of data they obtained from areas where you have genetically modified crops or the application of glyphosate and the diseases that are occurring simultaneously. And it revealed that glyphosate may be the cause of the rising rates that we're seeing of the following diseases: high blood pressure, stroke, diabetes, obesity, lipoprotein metabolism disorders. That means like cholesterol.
Fatty
issues.
Liver.
Right. Okay. Alzheimer's disease, senile dementia, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, autism, inflammatory bowel disease, intestinal infections, renal failure, acute kidney failure, myeloid leukemia, cancer of the thyroid, liver, bladder, pancreas, and kidneys. In other words, we're seeing a rise in these types of illnesses corresponding to the increased use of genetically modified crops.
Did it say blood cancers? I'm not sure that I heard that. But one of the things that I see is more and more people having been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
I don't think they didn't mention that. Doesn't mean that that isn't one of the things too, because the glyphosate interferes with many metabolic processes in plants and animals, and believe it or not, they're detecting glyphosate residues in both, you know, plants and animals, and in newborn babies. I mean, it's everywhere, and so it shouldn't be a surprise that it's creating problems. You know, when they first introduced the first commercialized GMO corn, they found it was toxic to animals. This was back in 1995. So when they fed the cows this genetically modified corn, when the GMO content in the feed reached 40%, the death rate in the herds went up to about 10%. Besides that, the GMO-fed cows suffered liver disease, kidney dysfunction, irregular heart function, mammary gland breaks, fatigue, impaired fertility, and other health problems. So it's, you know, this is a big issue that's totally being ignored.
So the 10% death rate in the herd doesn't sound terribly, terribly awful. However, you think about those are the animals that died, but it would not be outrageous to say that there were 30 to 40% very sick animals, and had the study gone on a little bit longer, they might have seen a much higher death rate.
Well, you make a good point, because that's another thing they do. When they do a study on the effects of these products in animals, for example, they do it for a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, and that's it. They don't have long-term studies. But when they did a long-term study, and this was done in rats, and the study lasted about 2 years, this is where they began to see all the serious illnesses associated with being exposed to these products. So the only way you can hopefully have less exposure is to include organic food. Now, my question is, how do you know whether the beef you're getting wasn't contaminated with GMOs? Would there be, if it says grass-fed, you know, it's an important point. There's another term besides grass-fed that's important, and that's grass-finished, which means when they bring the cows in to slaughter, which may take a couple of weeks to get around to them, come in from the fields, they're fed the genetically modified food. So I wonder if we're being protected from that when we go out of our way to get grass-fed beef, or are they being finished with other foods that we want to avoid?
Okay, it's very, very common. So raised, pasture raised, and then feedlot finished. So
how, is there any way to know that it's, you got to look for what, grass-fed and grass-finished?
Yes.
So that's another thing. They're constantly trying to mislead the consumer every step of the way. And, I think more and more of us, as we learn of it, you know, we make the changes in our own lives, but part of the problem is even learning about it. I think we try to pass along this information with this program, but it's not talked about much at all.
Unfortunately, because of the misleading advertisements and deliberately misleading word choices on products, people are led astray. But that's our function, Dr. Slavin, is to give people the details that they need in order to make informed choices. The informed healthcare consumer, that's what we're here for.
You know, there was a report out that there was a Heinz product, it was a ketchup that was banned from Israel, not because it was genetically modified, but because the high fructose corn syrup content was too high, which is another ingredient that you have to avoid. HFCS, you know, that's a bad product. Look for plain sugar, cane sugar, something like that.
Okay. In Publix, there is organic evaporated cane juice crystals. So these crystals, very, very nice flavor, very nice and sweet, but the sugar has not been bleached and the minerals have not been removed from the sugar. So it actually has a much richer taste than the typical bleached white commercial sugar that we may be accustomed to. So a little bit of that is not nearly as harmful. You have good quality. You don't have that push to overindulge.
And that's available organic as well.
It is organic.
Okay.
Yeah. And it has a circular label and it says organic evaporated cane juice crystals. And that's when people are looking for something to sweeten, that's a reasonable choice. And stevia, sometimes stevia combined with erythritol, sometimes stevia and Lohan. There's good choices.
Is stevia organic too?
Some of the stevia is, not all of it. And that music means we're out of time here on Natural Doc Radio. Keep in mind, we will be back tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.